This is Clusterfucked. Here's your host, Roger King.
This is the Clusterfuck Podcast. I'm your personable host, Roger King. As we tick down the days to the November election, I like to spend some of our time on this podcast focusing on different voter outreach efforts going on at the grassroots level, particularly, no surprise, in red states. We're going to turn our attention today to the great red state of Texas. Beto O'Rourke came within a couple of points of defeating Ted Cruz in the 2018 Texas Senate race, and that got Democrats everywhere salivating about the chance of maybe flipping Texas sometime soon. Of course, Texas is the second biggest prize in the Electoral College, 38 electoral votes. If the Democrats did manage to flip it in November, Trump would not only lose, but likely in a blowout. Polling is showing Biden competitive there. Many people felt Texas has been headed in the blue direction and that maybe Beto O'Rourke helped to speed up the process. One group in Texas that is definitely doing their part to help the state turn blue is the Sisters United Alliance. Sisters United Alliance, SUA, is a unique, data-driven women's voter turnout campaign in Texas led by women campaign professionals. SUA identifies Democratic-leaning, low-propensity women voters. So these are women who are registered to vote but have either never voted or maybe voted once. That's a universe of voters not usually contacted by the Democratic Party or by candidate campaigns. The co-founder of Sisters United Alliance joins me now, Sherry Matula. Welcome to Clusterfuck.
Thank you. We're honored to be here.
Well, take us back to the start of this organization, SUA. What was the game plan or the mandate of the organization when you formed it?
This was formed out of Harris County, which, of course, is the largest county in the state and third largest in the United States. And by the way, the most multicultural and diverse county in the whole United States.
Houston, correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Houston, I'm sorry.
That's
and
okay.
We, what we did was we were slapped beside the head, so to speak, in 2014 when we lost about 20,000 Democratic women who did not show up to vote when Wendy Davis was at the top of the ticket. After that, we decided to do something about it. So we formed the group in 2015. And from there, then we went forward doing only Harris County in 2016, targeting women, as you explained, who had not shown up to vote in the prior elections. And we turned out 42% of the women that we targeted. We targeted 89,000 women and turned out 37,000 of them. And then in 2018, we decided, you know what, it's good enough. Let's expand into some more counties. And we expanded into 8 more counties, targeted more people, 122,000 women, and we turned out 44,000 of them. So we're now going statewide. We're ready to say, this is it, 2020, we're going to do this.
Let's go. Yeah, no, well, those are great numbers. I mean, you know, targeting, you're looking at 40 or 50%, right, of if my math was correct.
Around 40, yeah, close to 40%, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously, you know, as I said off the top, you're very specific about who you're going after. Not just women, but specifically women who either don't vote or vote rarely. And of course, I'm assuming these are women you've targeted who you're aware they lean Democrat. How do you find them? And once you find them, how do you target them in order to motivate them to get out and vote?
Well, I'll turn that over to Diana Patino, who is our mastermind.
Diana, welcome to Clusterfucked. I love it. We've got two for the price of one here.
That's right. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for having us. That is correct. So what we do is we go into the voter file to find these women that are registered to vote, but they're not voting at all. And part of the data analysis that I did for Sisters United is was to discover how many possible Democrats are out there that are being untouched. Because at the end of the day, what we need in Texas is bring out the base, but bring out more people, add up more to the electorate. So these non-voting women are the ones that we're talking to. And once I did the data analysis, we realized that there's about close to 8 million registered women in Texas are voters. Mm-hmm. There's about 2 million that have never voted ever since registering. And out of that, over 1 million of them are leaning Democrats. So as the data shows us, there's more in the pool that we can talk to bring them to the polling location so they can vote and we can flip Texas overall. So those are the folks that we're talking to. And the majority of them are young, you know, young Hispanic woman.
And are they, they obviously, they registered at some point. That's how you find them?
Yes.
Yeah. So they made the effort to register. They just didn't show up.
Exactly. And that's the key, right? So one, they felt passionate one time in their life because they registered to vote. Mm-hmm. The problem is that either no one talks to them or, you know, they get too busy in their lives. They're not, you know, like us, that we keep up with every, you know, election cycle and election dates and all of that. So all, in our opinion, what we got to do is just talk to these women and inform them of the election process and kind of show them why their vote matters. Because a lot of these folks also don't think their vote matters. So then with our campaign, we inform them of the election. And then also we are an issue-driven campaign, which means we just turn them out to vote for all Democrats, not per candidate or so on.
Right. It's a come out and vote and go Democrat straight down the ticket. You know, president, Senate, everything, correct?
Yeah. Right.
Even local elections. And so what kind of messaging are you, you know, motivates them? What are you, are you, is it mail? Is it phone? Is it everything? Is a lot of it social media, I imagine. What tends to get to reach them the best? What kinds of messages and in what platforms?
So we do a combination of everything. We have to understand that in order for any voter to come out to vote, we do got to talk to them multiple times.
Right.
And so what Sisters United Alliance does is talks to them through various methods of contacts. And that's mailers, that's phone call, live phone calls, that's digital ads, and that's also, we'll be doing texting this time around. Mm. But all combined before early vote, during early vote, and then right on election day.
And you mentioned a lot of these women are Hispanic. Are you doing it in both languages, I imagine, as well?
We're going to be doing a little bit of a combination and reading the audience to see how much Spanish we include in that.
Good. Sounds great. Now, in some ways, Texas is similar to many states in the country in that the key for Democrats, of course, is to run up the numbers in the big cities. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton won in Houston and Dallas, I'm pretty sure. And,
yes.
Of course, you know, the liberal hotbed of Austin, but didn't win the state because there are plenty of smaller cities and rural towns where Republicans can still run up the numbers. I think many people know that the demographics in Texas are moving in the Democrats' direction. The state is getting younger, more Hispanic, more diverse, all of that. In your view, what are the keys to Democrats flipping the state in November, demographic-wise and maybe issue-wise as well?
Basically, we're looking at 13 counties. These 13 counties include the five large urban centers of Travis County, Tarrant County, Dallas County, Bexar County, which of course is San Antonio, and Harris County, which is Houston.
Right.
Then along with that, we picked out eight suburban counties. And these suburban counties are rich in people who will turn, we believe, or show up to vote this time. And they include Collin and Denton County that are up right there next to Fort Worth area, Tarrant County, which is the hot spot. That's where I think Beto is doing a lot of his work right now to turn it, along with Fort Bend County that is down in our area that did go blue last time. And they are poised. We have 25,000 targets in Fort Bend County. Mm. So if you add up all the numbers, we found 600,000 women who are our targets out of those 13 counties who are primed to be turning out to vote this time.
Mentioning Beto, are you do you work kind of with his? I think his organization is Powered by People, I think, or Powered by the People. Are you working at all with them in conjunction or completely separate entities? I mean, I know you're separate entities, but...
Right. We stay informed. We are making sure that we know what everyone else is doing because we complement what the other pieces of the pie are doing. We look to see what is happening and then we add on what we need to do. So will they know what we're doing? Yes. Mm-hmm. As we get closer to the election, along with what is happening with the DLCC, along with what's happening with Texas Democratic Party, all of that, we're looking at all of it and staying in contact with them so that we know what's happening.
And I imagine the Biden campaign as well. Maybe, I don't know if it's too early to have really touched base with them, but It seems like they're going to make a play for it. Am I correct, do you think?
Yes, they already have an operation here, and I want to give a shout out to a real good friend of ours, Mike Collier, who almost won the lieutenant governor position. God bless him if he had. Mm-hmm. And he is our touchstone with the Biden campaign here in Texas. We talk with him quite a bit about, you know, what's happening.
Oh, that's great. That's excellent. Well, speaking of other races, obviously there's a Senate race this November in Texas as well. Republican incumbent John Cornyn up for reelection. Can you give us a quick overview of where that race stands? MJ Hager, I'm guessing, will be the Democratic nominee.
We will see.
Yeah.
They had a knockdown, drag out debate last night. So it'll be interesting to see. Royce West, of course, is a senator, Texas senator, and has the experience on the one side. MJ has run a great campaign. I think that the voting populace in Texas will be turning out for either one who comes out and steps out on top. Is this the year of the woman, and would it maybe work a little bit better? Who knows? You know, who knows what'll happen with that?
So. Yeah, no, fair enough. I was looking at her endorsements, and, you know, I think Elizabeth Warren endorsed her and some other big names, talking about MJ Hager, of course. So, you know, I was assuming she'll pull it out, but yeah, you're right. It's it remains to be seen. but the has there been any polling that you've seen on that race with either candidate against the incumbent Republican Cornyn, where the Democrats are within striking distance?
All I can do is look at, and Diane and I have looked at the primary results, and the primary results between the Democrat and the Republican are actually very close. Mm. If you look at the numbers from the primary and the original turnout and everything, it was pretty close. I mean, it's going to be a real dogfight for this whole thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Beto was able to come within a couple of points of Ted Cruz in a non-presidential election year, you know, look what we've got going here, you know, with Democrats motivated to get Trump out.
Roger, what we found out was if we take our 600,000 women and we apply what we have done in 2016 and 2018, and you run the numbers of 40%, then we will turn out 240,000 women who have not voted in 2020. Beto only lost by 215,000. So there's the golden goose that laid the golden egg.
There's the numbers right there. You mentioned targeting suburban women. Obviously, this is an area in which the Republicans are losing support. The suburbs, Trump is basically helping for the Republicans are bleeding support basically in the suburbs. We see this all across the country. So you're targeting some of these suburban women. Any particular messages you're hitting them with to get them out to vote?
Diana could tell you what we might be looking at because we wait till closer. None in particular. I would like to give just as an example, though, what happens when we hit that, as you said, that suburban woman kind of area that clicks on everything. And Congressional District 7, which Lizzie Fletcher captured, that was one of the flips in Texas. We, across Harris County, we had a turnout of about 38% to 40%. But in her race, because of the high number of college-educated women there, even though they hadn't turned out to vote, they didn't have someone that they wanted to vote for, we turned out 51% of our women who had not shown up to vote, which leads me to believe that that's exactly what we hit, was some of these suburban women who had not found anyone to vote for with John Culbertson or whoever had been in that before. So yes, absolutely.
That was a House race?
It was a U.S. House race, yes. Okay. And that was our top percentage that we got in.
Yeah, but I mean, it's again, these are fantastic numbers of, you know, anyone targeting, you know, and getting 40% or 50% of their targets. Do you hold any events regularly, or what kind of things are you planning on doing in these last few months before the election? Anything connected with the Sisters United Alliance that's like that people attend, or, you know, just to get awareness?
We are totally COVID free in everything that we do. We do not hold any events except for Zoom fundraisers.
Right.
And we are trying to raise the money for this. So I would like to give a shout out, though, to something that's going on right now in Harris County in Houston. We're, of course, one of the big hot spots for the COVID mm-hmm. and what is happening. And anyone who has been watching has seen Lena Hidalgo, the county judge, do an absolutely outstanding job leading us through all of this in our county and making the best decisions. She would not be here today, Roger, in that position if Sisters United had not executed their program in 2018. Mm. She won by 18,000 votes. We turned out 34,000, which means our program put her over the top to solidify her in that position. And we are very proud of that, that we were able to help her or help put her in that position. So that's something that, everybody in Houston and across the nation knows that she has just done an outstanding job there.
Yeah, I believe her name came up in one of our other episodes. I had Amanda Lippman on who founded Run for Something. And
yes.
I think she was an endorsed candidate with them as well. And did she lose one race and then come back and win? Was that, am I got that right or am I thinking of someone else?
No, she had Diana, she had never run before, had she? No, this was her
first time.
And he was a very popular county judge. In other words, Ed Emmett was very popular, and everybody thought that he had it, that he had the race and everything. But Sisters United came in and really expanded our targets. And because we delivered almost 40% there in Harris County, then our numbers edged her up over the top.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I remember it now. Yeah, that he had been a longtime judge and they told her that she had no chance and Sisters United Alliance proved otherwise.
Yes, I actually called her up the night before election day. Diana knows this. And I told her it was about 10 o'clock at night. And I said, Lena, we've already had 27,000 of our women show up to vote. You're going to win this race. She started crying on the phone.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, it's great that you had the numbers to be able to tell her that she was going to pull it out. Are there any other races we should watch for, besides obviously the big high ticket, presidential and Senate, anything else in any of these counties or any House races you think you have a good shot at flipping?
17, not U.S. House, but State House, which will then put Texas into contention on their redistricting, which we have been slammed for the last 25 years with the redistricting. In the 13 counties that we are targeting are the 17 House district seats that will flip Texas.
Mm. So there's a shot on election night for Biden to turn Texas blue, the Democrats to win a Senate seat, and to actually take over the state legislature as well.
And to flip seven, is it, Diana, correct me if I'm wrong, it's either seven or eight congressional seats, too, at the same time. Literally, this is me, and you can quote me anytime you want. I want scorched earth. I want scorched earth for the Republicans on election night. This is what I said in Harris County before 2018, and we delivered it. And I want scorched earth across Texas as much as we can get it.
Absolutely. And I think Democrats are in the mood for scorched earth. and you mentioned, too, that it's not so much that Sisters United Alliance endorses particular candidates. I'm sure that you obviously support, but it's all about voting Democratic, throughout the whole ticket, a straight ticket of Democrats, because the point is you want to get these women out and you just say, look, it's Democrat, 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 right? That's the core message.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We're because the Republicans in the State House got rid of straight ticket right at the time that Democrats in Texas were first using it, see? So there, it's now gone. And now we're going to be advocating that you vote for every single Democrat on your ballot. I've even told the rural counties that we've talked to, do not vote for a Republican. I don't care if there's no Democrat running, you still don't vote for him. You only vote for the Democrats on your ballot.
There's the message. All right, keep it simple. I love it. and obviously, like any political organization, you can use all the funding you can get. So I imagine you mentioned you're doing some Zoom fundraising. I guess obviously COVID is, as we talked about a few minutes ago, with events are really not going to happen too much at the moment. But you are doing different fundraising things online and that kind of thing?
Yes, and we would ask everybody to please go to sistersunitedalliance.com. We are a state PAC, and Roger, we can guarantee that we probably deliver the best for the amount of money, because if you give us $2, we will do 8 to 9 touches on these women who have never voted for just $2. Who else can say that?
Well, this is it. I mean, this is a message that, you know, I talked about this a little bit with Amanda from Run for Something and a couple of our other guests too, where your dollar, you know, I know that everybody gets, you know, seduced by the presidential election and high profile Senate races, but a lot of the time your dollar does go farther in grassroots organizations like yours, because you really can, you know, use that money and target voters, and that's what you do. So people should think about that. You know, Biden will have a lot of money, and if you're someone who, you know, only has a few bucks to spare, why not throw it to Sisters United Alliance? That's
Amen.
What I say. Well, I didn't know we were going to, but Sherry and Diana, both of you, thank you for taking the time to join me on the podcast. We'll keep a close eye on what Sisters United Alliance is doing in the run-up to the election. Again, folks listening, if you want to throw them a few bucks, go to that website Sherry mentioned, sistersunitedalliance.com. Thanks so much, Sherry, and thanks, Diana.
Thank you, Roger, for talking to us today.
We appreciate it, and I appreciate the work you're doing, and maybe we'll check in with you again before November and see what's going on.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Sisters United Alliance. Look at them targeting the women, the non-voters or the occasional voters. A great idea. Amazing numbers that they can churn out, you know, 40, 50% of their targeted voters. That's those are good numbers by anyone's standards. So Sherry's on Twitter at Sherry Matula. That's SHERRIEMATULA at Sherry Matula. And Sisters United Alliance, of course, is on Twitter as well at United SUA. And that website again is sistersunitedalliance.com. Getting out the folks in Texas. I'm on Twitter as well. You know me as the Civil Liberal. But my handle is at CF the Podcast. And for more episodes of this fine broadcast, go to cfthepodcast.com. Not only the episodes there, you can find out more about the program, and there's a chance to support us. We love support. This is a labor of love, as I always say. I have no big financial backer. You don't hear any commercials, which means no advertising, which means, again, labor of love. But I've got some expenses. We record at a beautiful studio, dbaudio.ca. And there's audio hosting and web hosting and marketing expenses and, you know, the rest. So if you feel generous and you like this podcast, go to cfthepodcast.com and click support the podcast. Throw us a few bucks. We appreciate it. You can also join the mailing list. That's a good way for us to keep in touch and update you when we release new episodes. This program is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. I could rhyme them all off, but you know them. They're the various pod catchers. I love that phrase. So wherever you listen is fine. Again, we love it when you go to cfthepodcast.com, but the important thing is that you listen. And I thank you for listening.
The Clusterfuck Podcast, a liberal host with red state guests.
This is Roger King. That'll be all.